Hello, my name is Sammy James, and I would like to welcome you to Boo-Ha-Ha Podcast. Here on Boo-Ha-Ha, we will have a different conversation every week on a horror or paranormal topic, and all of these conversations are with comedians like myself, who happen to also be horror or paranormal fans. We're going to talk about horror movies, horror books, but also some other stuff that might surprise you. And besides us all being comedians, this show also prioritizes voices that might not always be included in mainstream horror conversation. So a lot of these conversations are with people of color, trans people, queer people, disabled people, and the occasional straight and cis person as well. Anyway, I hope you enjoy the ride, and let's get going. Hey everybody, welcome to the latest We Are Trans panel, and also a live episode of my podcast, Boo-Ha-Ha. My name is Sammy James. I am the host of both of these things, I guess, and I'd like to thank you for being here. We have a wonderful panel on trans representation and, I mean, probably mostly transphobia in horror movies. I have everybody introduce themselves. KJ, you're on my screen. You are kind of right next to me. So if you would like to start by introducing yourself, you're welcome to.
Over a little over 7 years. I used to be a stand-up instructor. I've also toured anywhere from the Charm City Comedy Festival in Baltimore, Maryland to the NW Black Comedy Festival in Portland, Oregon, also the International Lead West Comedy Festival in Madison, Wisconsin, and others. I'm happy to be here, and horror is one of my favorite genres, and I also love survival horror video games.
Nice. Ashley, would you like to go next?
I would love to. Hi, I am Ashley Lauren Rogers. I use she, her, or they, them pronouns. I'm based out of Brooklyn, New York, and I'm primarily a playwright, but I also host a podcast. I host two podcasts, but the one that is most closely related to our panel is a transphobic podcast where me and a group of other trans and non-binary folk look at a piece of media and ask whether it's transphobic and whether it's enjoyable. Because sometimes it can be both.
Great. And Morgan?
Hi, I'm Morgan. My pronouns are they, them. I'm an artist and a writer. I run a blog called Diversity in Horror, where I look at different novels and review them, different horror novels and how diverse they are. And I try to promote a lot of, like, people of color and queer and trans and disabled authors who write horror, because it's really under.
Great.
When it is represented, it's usually very poorly.
Yes. We're about to find out.
Yeah, that's why this panel is a thing. Yeah, so it doesn't necessarily have to relate to the theme and topic of this panel, but one of the first things I ask everyone on episodes of Boo-Ha-Ha is, what was your introduction to horror? If any of you can point to a specific movie, and I guess we can go in the reverse order if you would like to answer that first, Morgan.
Probably Beetlejuice. My mom used to let me watch, like, creepy movies since I was little. So she let me watch Beetlejuice when I was a toddler. and I loved it. And then when I was like 10, she made me watch The Shining because it was a classic movie. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of grew up with it. I don't know if I have one particular introduction to horror, but I've just always loved it since I was a kid, and my whole family. Well, my mom and my sister are the same. And my grandmother. So many generations.
Very cool. Yeah, for me, I mean, just being a kid in the 80s, everything had this sort of like weirdly horrific tinge to it that I just kind of like gravitated towards and loved. Like even just like things like The Labyrinth, things like Return to Oz, just like looking at these pieces and seeing this like this move into horror was always something that I loved. But for me, I think what really did it for me was Army of Darkness. And it's actually like a little bit of Ashley lore. That is where I initially picked the name Ashley, is after the protagonist portrayed by Bruce Campbell, Ashley Williams.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, a little bit of underground Ashley lore for those that are looking for that.
Awesome.
Great.
I remember one of the first films that I was shown was the first Evil Dead film. And then my father, being as proud as he is, showed me the others, including Army of Darkness. And that was a great film. I have had my period where I went through 80s slashers. And then I also had another period where I was just all blood and gore. But where it goes back for me, and this kind of stems in how I address issues to this day, was the film Tales from the Hood. And it's a 1995 film that Tales from the Crypt, but mostly black and brown cast. And the stories in that film dealt with issues that face the black community, anything from just police brutality, poverty, means of reparations is talked about in the film. And that film spoke to me, not just in means of like how you can use horror to address these issues, but how you can use other genres and other means of art, like even in comedy and stand-up comedy, to address issues that are important to you. So that's why that film sticks out to me, and that's the very first horror film I remember seeing.
That was Tales from the Hood, right?
Yeah.
Yes, 1995.
Love that movie.
Yeah. Yeah, that movie is so good.
Yeah. I feel like it took me so long to finally sit down and watch it, and when I did, I was kicking myself because I was just like, I really should have watched this way. Like, I think I maybe watched it 3 years ago the first time, and it was just like, oh my gosh, like I'm an idiot. I should have watched this when it came out. I'm a big fan of anthology horror in general too.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites too.
I feel like a baby. I was 3 when it came out.
I think I was like 10 when it came out.
So like I saw it like when I was like 6, I think, and I should know. It's one of the things my mom definitely yelled at my dad about, because he showed me a horror film when I was in kindergarten.
But it's an educational horror film.
Yeah.
So,
it is. Like, you never explained it to me. I had to figure all this out on my own.
And it's like the fact that like David Alan Greer is the scariest thing in that movie. Yeah. And see, this is one of my... I like this about this panel, because yes, it's about trans representation in horror, but it's also just an excuse for 4 trans people to talk about horror. And when do we get to do that? When do we get to be part of, like, conversations about this genre, even? So, I mean...
It seems like something that's, if not before, which we've seen it before, but even especially now, given the current times and the push for diversity and inclusion, be it for profit or because people actually care, it's definitely going to be more of a thing now.
Yeah.
And most certainly will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And especially, it feels like, particularly for now, a lot of that inclusion is specifically this idea of like, okay, we've got to make sure we're actually trying to get it right and we're not just like, because like a lot of inclusion has happened, but it's been really bad inclusion. It's been really poor representation and more in a lot of ways, more harm than actual good. And so, yeah, this push is absolutely a like, okay, it's not just about putting putting bodies on the film. It's about making sure that what we're seeing is at least somewhat good representation. It's at least trying.
Yeah. And I mean, this question, it makes sense to ask on this panel and after the first question. When was the first time, the first, like, instance of transphobia or trans representation in a horror movie that you saw, or any sort of gender expansiveness, any, you know, because there's so much horror just around gender as well.
And just to clarify, you're asking more like our first experience as opposed to like historically what is the first one that's ever done that, right? Because I feel like we could be here for hours trying to look
at it. No, but for you in your history.
Go ahead, KJ.
The first that I could remember more vividly was I don't know how I feel about bringing this person up. Was Buffalo Bill and Silence of the Lambs.
Same.
Because here's the thing, the film to me in its entirety is a blur, but one thing that I do remember is that and just how people have taken that and in terms of mostly to make fun of it. But I think people have used it as a weapon against trans people in their everyday life.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
But that's the one I remember earliest on. I'm talking like, I think I was 12, maybe 11, when I first even saw clips of it.
With Silence of the Lambs, I know at least for me it was actually Psycho that really was the first time I'd experienced it. But it's that same flavor. It's that same kind of like, oh no, this person is quote unquote messed up. This person is quote unquote. All sorts of ableist things that we could say about this person. But in all honesty, especially with Silence of the Lambs, it's even more awful. We did a rewatch of it for Is It Transphobic? Yeah. I think it's like our third episode. And they talk about trans people. They say, oh, well Buffalo Bill isn't a trans person. Because Buffalo Bill is like trans people, trans women specifically are more passive. They're more et cetera, et cetera. And so we're dealing with this this medicalized gatekeeping that's been happening. This idea of like the public knowledge being that trans women are the only trans people, and that trans women are a certain way, and when they're not, then they turn into Buffalo Bill.
Yeah.
And there's a whole lot of other stuff to unpack, but yeah, Silence of the Lambs really just knocked it out of the park with their bullshit.
Yeah. Well, and an argument that I hear when people try to defend the movie, when I'm like, this is really transphobic. They're like, well, he wasn't technically trans, because they said, I'm like, no. Too many people think that he's trans. Like, I remember somebody posted an article on Facebook about the bathroom bill, and like half the comments were about Buffalo Bill when they're talking about trans women using the bathroom. I'm like, obviously a lot of people don't understand that he's not trans. So it doesn't matter if he's not technically trans.
Yeah.
And even then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Sorry, but.
No, go ahead.
Go.
To the larger point of that, again, with the medicalized gatekeeping, so much of that, what is this idea of like, he was told by his psychiatrist that he's not trans. And so this is a medical gatekeeper telling this character, you're not trans. And then therefore this character, because of this, everyone says this character isn't trans. And there are so many other trans people, and a lot of these practices are done now. We don't need to worry about a lot of them, but it's still that idea of having to, especially if you're a trans woman, uphold the absolute pinnacle of femininity, and if you're a trans man, hold the absolute pinnacle of masculinity in order to be told, like, oh, yes, you are. There's... so it all boils down into that
I feel like it plays and also plays into this idea that cisgender people have are the only people to have the authority to tell us whether we're trans or not, whether we're valid or not, that they're the only ones who can say it. I'm sorry, that's just really... I'm just realizing
Well, and another problem I have with the movie is a lot of people, when they're arguing, oh, it's not transphobic, they're like, well, it's based on a real serial killer. And I'm like, well, that's fine, but when the only representations of trans people in the media are, like, either they're a serial killer or they're a joke, like, a cis man slept with a trans woman, that's the problem. Like, I wouldn't have as much problem... with a film based on a real life serial killer if there was lots of positive trans representation out there. And that's the problem. It's always bad representation, and that's all, like, cis people are saying and thinking about trans people, and that's all we get to see of ourselves.
And you seem to miss that there hasn't been this positive representation about people being because they're trans or even black or all those things. It's easy to miss that when you're used to seeing people who look like you, who are like on screens. So you can't imagine not having that. That's still a problem to this day.
Basically the definition of privilege.
It's
that you're so used to it that you don't notice, like, you know, the inequality.
And Morgan, I don't know. Did you answer the question of what was your first?
Experience? It was Beetlejuice when I was like 2 years
old. But your first experience with
my first experience with trans
representation or transphobia in.
Well, it was Beetlejuice. Clear to know.
I mean, rewatch Beetlejuice.
Silence of the Lambs, because my mom has a big crush on Anthony Hopkins. And she actually met him once and got his picture, and she loves him. So I was like 10, and she's like, watch this, like, really inappropriate movie for children. But it won an Oscar, so it's okay for you to watch. Normally she's like, I don't want you to watch anything that's violent, but if it, like, won an Oscar, that's okay. So she's like, why don't you watch Silence of the Lambs? And I was like, Mommy, I don't want to. Mommy, this is really upsetting. And she's like, shut up, it's a good movie. It has Anthony Hopkins, Jodie Foster. Interestingly, that was also the first time where I'm like, I'm watching Jodie Foster, and I'm like, oh, Jodie Foster, kind of hot. I'm kind of into this. And I was like, oh, I'm not sure. I don't think I'm straight. Damn. there was also that, but it was weird because I didn't realize at the time I was non-binary, and so of course, like, this is my first introduction to transness at all. Is the serial killer?
Yep.
And it was so confusing because I was like, "Well, why can't they just let him be a woman? I don't understand. Why does that make him a bad person? Are trans people bad?" And I didn't know the word trans back then, but I was like, "So people like this are bad people? I don't really."
Which, to be clear, anyone who makes a skin suit out of any other person is a bad person, regardless of gender.
I don't know. They might have deserved it. You don't know.
I'm not editing that out.
Vaguely extenuating circumstances aside, I am assuming anyone who makes a skin suit out of another person is a bad person.
Like, if you made a skin suit out of, like, billionaires, I'd be like, okay. You know?
Jeff Bezos, we're looking at you, you son of a bitch.
Wow, this has already gone off. Wow, asshole. Yeah, I think... like you...
Hello, I am Jeff Bezos now. No, okay. This is the horror movie trans people want to see.
Yes!
Hollywood, take notice!
So, Ashley, like you, I think my first experience seeing any sort of, like, not trans, but as far as people are concerned, still, my first experience with trans representation, was Psycho. Watching it like through the railings of the stairs as my family was watching it, it's like a small kid just being like, and just catching it in bits and pieces, and then just finally coming down like, I'm just gonna go watch that. They can't stop me to see the end and be like, what?
When he looks up and smiles at the camera, that's
no, but like the whole like the reveal.
Yeah,
I'm like, it was, because, like, I didn't have any actual trans representation, so I'm just like, well, don't be like that person.
I feel like Psycho's another one of those movies. If there was more positive trans representation, I wouldn't have a problem with it. Because he thinks he's his mother. Like,
and that's what...
Yeah, but if that's the only thing you see, and that's what you go to when you think trans people, that's a huge problem.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why, like, that movie, I don't know that it was intended to be, which is why, like, when I'm asked if it's transphobic, I'm like, I don't think the intention was, but... Yeah.
That's how, it doesn't matter what the intention was, that's how it's taken.
Exactly.
I think, I'm going to say, I think it was, considering the time it came out as well, and considering everything that came out about Alfred Hitchcock after his death.
Fair.
I think he did have some inner demons that led to, like, him judging folks who he arguably didn't know anything about. And the film came out in 1960. So to think about that, I believe he sold 80 years ago. I'm not going to put it past that to try to find, for these filmmakers to try to find something that seems so weird and so unusual, and then to make them out to be a bad people.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put it past them, especially given the time it came out.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a good point.
That is another piece that has like a moment where they literally have doctors and people who are supposed to be experts on screen saying essentially, well, this person is not a trans person. This person is not, like, I think they even go to the point where they're like, this person is not a cross-dresser.
Yeah.
Because he truly believes that he is his mother. And it's still a flawed, I don't have the monologue on hand, but there's like a whole monologue that a quote-unquote expert gives on this. And it was fascinating to me. It's still not great, but it's again like that idea of people using that as an excuse to say, no, it can't be transphobic, because no, they debunked that. He's not trans. And it's like, yeah, but if people are looking at me and they're going, hey, Norman Bates, how's your mother?
Exactly.
You know, it's like, then,
I think the exact line when they asked if he was, they use the term transvestite, he said, not exactly. A man who dresses in women's clothing in order to achieve a sexual change or satisfaction is a transvestite. But in Norman's case, he was simply doing everything possible to keep alive the illusion of his mother being alive.
That's a lie.
I don't know why I just have that on hand.
I mean, it was impressive.
I was like, oh, I happen to have that quote right here. Why do I have this?
even then, it's like something like, even something like that, it's like now there's this idea that there's something missing from our lives, like always something traumatic, which given trans folks, we do have our stories, but given the fact that we're so badly damaged and broken and stuff like that, I feel like that's the idea that is given, even though that's that case, but again, the time period, that's how people are going to take it.
And it's like, I mean, you can be trans and traumatized. Neither one is because, well,
The two aren't mutually
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. That's what I'm trying to say. there are two main movies that I wanted to bring up during this. People listening, I'm sure other movies will be brought up. I'm sure we will yell about other movies, I'm sure. I wanted two big examples. One that has become kind of synonymous with, like, transphobia and trans representation in horror movies negative representation that I'd like to bring up first is Sleepaway Camp, which I've had to admit this many times, I struggle with it, but I love that movie. Like, I hate love that movie. Because it's such a fun movie. It is such a fun movie until that end. Spoiler alert for Sleepaway Camp, everybody.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is, like, part of me, I'm like, wow, this is really transphobic. But then the other part's like, yeah, Angela, get him. Kill him.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. They're all transphobic assholes. Murder them.
Yeah, and it's like, I have retconned, and I've had this conversation with so many trans women. I'm not the only one who has retconned this movie to be like, no, that's the movie about a trans woman who doesn't take shit.
See, I was lucky enough, and I say lucky enough, I was lucky enough to have avoided it until we had to do it for the podcast. But I have talked to so many people who are good friends of mine, people who are like, oh, have you done Sleepaway Camp? Because they know that it absolutely deserves to be ripped apart.
Yes.
But at the same time, there is this fondness, there is this love for this movie.
Yeah.
And I just, like, I get it for a lot of reasons, like, most of them being that mother, I, like, oh my gosh, like,
oh my God.
Like, oh, I mean, like, fuck that character, but boy, that actor, I am so, like, yeah, you're like, there are choices, and then there are choices, and she is definitely making all of them.
Yes! Yes! Yeah. And it's...
The mom, like, reminds me of, like, a children's show host who probably, like, actually kidnaps children and keeps them in the basement and turns them into puppets or something. Like,
and now, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to put on my nerdy correcting horror fan hat right now, but I'm sorry. Excuse me. She was the aunt.
She was Ricky's mother.
Yeah, she's Ricky's mother.
Okay.
Aunt.
Great.
Fair that we again, looking at it as Angela is the hero, put Angela as the center and say, yes, she's Angela's aunt. But yeah.
You know who she really reminds me of is Mr. B Natural from the MST3 shorts. Have you ever seen that? Oh my God. Well, after this, you should watch it because it's hilarious. She reminds me of Mr. B Natural, just like the weird cadence of her voice.
Yeah, this is going to make so much sense once I finally watch Sleepaway Camp. Here's the thing with me. I don't know who brought it up before this panel, but beforehand I only heard about it once and I was told not to watch it.
Yeah.
It's not bad
advice.
In the sense of why I shouldn't watch it. And also I think I saw that it came out, was it 1983?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
1983, so 23 years after Psycho, I'm not entirely enthusiastic. That is where I am on it, and I also had trouble finding it.
Yep.
To watch.
Yep.
But now
Shudder, if you have Shudder.
Mm-hmm.
Shudder. I do not have Shudder.
No.
Yeah.
But I will.
I think I'll go through just a basic recap of the movie for anyone who watches it. I will give the reveal just in case there are any
people, trans people specifically listening who don't know the movie, I don't want you watching and then having that experience, so I will. But it is, essentially, it is a girl and her cousin are at camp, and really, everyone at the camp is awful.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, the chef was a pedophile. Like 100%. Like, not even, like, just literally the first thing you hear from him is like, here's something that I'm gonna say about these delicious children. It's just like, whoa!
And his coworkers just laugh it off. They're not like, yeah. What? He's like, yep. They'd be young for you. No.
Yeah.
And they're like,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
You're such a pedophile. And I'm like,
it is that.
Yeah, it is. And like, see, scenes like this, I'm fine spoiling so that anyone going in knows that these are coming. This movie has some of the best, honestly, some of the best kills in horror history. Like, it really does. And it's worth a watch just for some of the scenes in this movie. But so, everyone's awful, people are dying at the camp, and then fast forward to the end of the movie, it is revealed that the murderer this whole time has been this, like, preteen girl, and oh my god, she has a penis! And then the movie's over.
Yep. Literally, freeze frame on her face. At, like, doing this face, like,
oh, and the sound, what is the sound she makes? Oh, no. No.
It was a pretty great face, I have to say.
Yeah.
They had to, like, make a mask of the face, and she's like,
did they? Wait, is that what they did, or is that, like, just sort of...
Yeah, they put on a body double, they had a cis female actress playing her.
Yeah.
And then they made a mask of her face with just, like, an open mouth and put it on a cis male actor.
Oh, see, I figured in my head it was going to be the other way around what they did. I did not know. I did not research that. Oh,
but what you, okay. And it's also, like...
All of it bad. All of it bad.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Oh,
okay.
And I had this conversation with...
I
had
sorry,
I had this...
Yeah. It's a face.
Oh yeah,
they got their money's worth out of that mask.
It's a pretty great face.
Yeah,
like,
but I had this conversation on I forget. I guess it would have been the We Are Trans podcast. I don't see how it would have come up on the Animal podcast. but I had this conversation with AJ Mattioli about Sleepaway Camp. We talked about it briefly. We were talking about how it's messed up, but it's also funny that it's like this preteen girl, but the penis is like a massive adult man penis too. It's just like,
if only didn't actually show up like boy, Nate, that would have, like...
No, that's...
Also, no, everything ever does bad.
No. Listen, that's not what I'm saying. But it is...
Another reason I thought it was just a prosthetic.
Just
was a prosthetic. All
just,
right, no,
just
no,
make
I
it... Just, no, but I'm
saying... Yeah. Yep. I gave him too much credit. Nope.
No, but I'm...
And then it's awful, because I'd be like, no, you have to watch it.
Oh, God,
it's awful, but it's good.
It is.
It's like,
listen,
I love... Like there's this whole thing called the big reveal. The penis! Just right there.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's like a...
And I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry, person who... We've had one comment. We have one comment now that I'm going to put on screen. All of you just... No. It is literally, and I'm sorry, this is when you came in. I guess they came in just during that conversation.
Wow.
And it is just... It is just...
Weird.
It is just question mark.
Yeah.
just a question mark. So we're talking about the fucked up reveal that is Sleepaway Camp. I'm sorry you came in just in the middle of describing penis size.
Welcome to the chat. Yeah, I mean, that is that movie. Like, and the thing is, people only ever talk about, or when they do talk about that movie, that's all they talk about. It's just that moment.
Yeah.
The quote unquote shocking reveal. And it is, like, I know I put finger quotes on it. It's just because the quote unquote shocking reveal has been used, has been weaponized against trans
absolutely
in a lot of media, yeah, and in a lot of other places. But it is one of those things, like, for me at least, that was like, and again, like, from dates, that's the first time I can really see of, like, that major shocking reveal, even though, yeah, I'm sure there are other horror films that have come, yeah, before it, and there are other pieces, but, like, especially 1983, it just, that feels like, it's just, yeah, like, yep, yeah, there it is.
And the thing is, you, there was no, like, reason for it to be there. There's yeah, no, like, build-up, there's no, like, hints that this, you know, is anything other than a cis girl. Oh, okay, thank you.
There are hints. There are hints.
Okay.
There are hints that don't, that kind of add up. Like, she doesn't shower with the other girls. She doesn't go swimming.
Yeah.
She doesn't,
yeah,
talk.
Yeah.
Like, she's completely quiet, which part of that could be because, yeah, she is a character who's a
trauma,
but, like, you chalk that up to that. But
yeah, exactly.
There's so many things that are, like, no, they're building it up. Like, not to give the movie more credit than it needs. But, like,
no,
they build up
a no, that's
really,
a good, that's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point, but I think watching the movie and hitting the reveal, you don't think about those, is more what,
yeah,
I'm saying. It's just like, mm-hmm, well, where did this come from?
Yeah, they really didn't need that reveal. Just that she was the killer would have been shocking,
yeah,
enough, but they're like, let's just put a penis on screen because,
yeah,
reasons.
And to be clear again, this is another piece that people will argue, oh, she's not trans.
Uh-huh.
Because, specifically, she is being forced by her aunt after the dramatic kayaking accident, the motorboat,
yeah,
accident,
yeah,
to live as a girl. And, uh-huh, it's just, it's another one of those pieces. Like,
yeah,
there are so many of the, like, it's another one of those pieces that I don't know if another piece came before it, if this is,
yeah,
just the, like, the one that everyone has been chasing that, like, that transphobic high on. But...
No, there's been others like that.
Yeah.
That's like a whole genre of transphobic,
yeah,
horror movies. The,
yeah,
mom forced you to live as a different gender.
Yeah.
And so you became,
oh,
a serial killer.
Oh, yeah, that is... I didn't want to bring up any of them. There are a few. Even like as recently as like 2017.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, a house at the, cool, end of the street or whatever.
Yes. I'm like, are we still seriously doing that?
Exactly. Yeah, and that's...
And I feel like if you really believe someone's going to be a serial killer if they're not allowed to live as their gender, why don't you just let trans people transition then?
Yeah.
Like, you would think that, like, if a kid said, I'm trans, you're like, yes, I'm going to let you transition or you will become a serial killer.
Yeah, it's
killer.
Like, oh.
That's
like, not the way.
I feel.
People
are getting
off.
I feel.
KJ, you've wanted to say something, please.
Yeah.
I have. There is so much. First off, I'm trying to get a sense, and I think it's important to know where, like, the stereotypes given trans people come from.
Yeah.
I'm getting a sense that the stereotype of parents or relatives, older relatives, forcing their children, it came from this. And so we've grabbed that based on no proof,
yep,
at all, really, that this was a regular thing. It came,
mm-hmm,
from a work of fiction.
Yeah.
And,
well,
just how powerful that is to happen even now. I'm sorry, Morgan, you were about to say something.
There was a serial killer who's, I'm blanking on his name, and his mom used to dress him as a girl as a form of abuse, but that was more to, like, emasculate him, because,
mm-hmm,
she's like, you're so feminine.
Oh,
I'm going to dress, yeah. So, unfortunately, it is based on a real thing.
You know,
mm-hmm,
which, like, told ties into toxic masculinity and all that, and she's like, because you act effeminate,
yeah,
I'm gonna dress you up in a wig and a dress and make fun of you and abuse,
yeah,
you. And later he became a serial killer. I don't know if those two things are related. They Plenty of people are abused and don't become familiar.
I know this is going to be a lot to unpack and a lot to say, but that same thing happened to me as a kid.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And my mom has threatened to put me in a dress as punishment. And I'm trying to figure out why would anyone think to do that, and now I'm getting a sense of it.
Yeah.
Wow. That is beyond awful.
Yeah, I'm sorry if that was really triggering, but
I'm good. It's just now I'm like, I didn't know where that came from.
Yeah, that's where, I don't know if that's all the horror movies, but I know there are horror movies that got the idea basically from the serial killer case. I think there's actually two different serial killers who had similar experiences of being abused by being emasculated like that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
We got something in the comments that said there was a scene, that was a similar scene from a movie called Sinister.
Yeah, one of the Sinister movies, I'm sure.
No, Insidious.
Okay.
Insidious? Yeah, Insidious did that. Like, Insidious made me so mad. Like, and I'll tell you, Insidious made me so mad because I loved the first movie, and that movie wasn't revealed until the second movie.
Yeah, actually, you and I actually did a podcast on
Insidious. Yeah. We, like, and that's the thing, like, Insidious 1 was fantastic, I loved it, it's all about astral projection, it's this, like, really awesome movie, and I'm so here for Insidious 2, and then I show up for Insidious 2, and they hit me with that bullshit.
I know,
The woman who possesses, what's his name, is, I'm terrible with names, but the woman in black who possesses him at the end of Insidious, spoilers for Insidious, Yeah, but like, and then in the second movie, it's the continuation of that story, and we find out more about that character, and that character experienced the same thing.
Yep.
And it's just like, God fucking damn it.
Yeah.
There's also a Wes Craven movie called Deadly Blessing that does the same thing.
Yep.
I don't know that one.
It's really obscure. Another one that I had to watch when I was writing my article. It's not good. I guess my mom hates men so much, she decides to raise her son as a girl, and so he becomes a serial killer. Which is, you know what, that's a really unfortunate trend that, like, they're implying that if you're abused as a child, you become a violent serial killer.
And I mean, whether it comes from these movies or the movies, you know, are playing on this shitty, you know, treatment, you know, there's also the fact that, you know, like, supportive parents of trans kids have to deal with people saying, like, that's abuse.
You know,
it does kind of tie into this. Whether they're in any way, you know, one is because of the other, it's, you know, the fact that, you know, that they're both out there, you know, is a little telling.
That's a real eye-opener.
And I think it's also an interesting trend, specifically, like, from outside, because really it wasn't until about the 40s or the 50s that people started dressing their children like little adults and really delineating specific genders. Like, you know, we knew, you know, it's a boy, it's a girl, but in reality it wasn't until then, like, everyone wore the same hand-me-downs, and part of that was for financial reasons. Very, you know, like, hey, all right, we had your older here, like, this baby will be wearing his older sister's old stuff, because, well, it's just honestly easier and cheaper to hand down that material. And part of it is a capitalistic thing to then start dressing up their children like these little five-year-olds in business suits and things like that. And if you look into it, it's a capitalistic move that a lot of this gendering started happening so young.
Yeah, and that's where the pink and blue came from too.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
But even then, like, it used to be, because pink was a much more expensive color and a much harder color to get. It used to be a masculine color. And so blue was a feminine color. And then I don't know the specifics, don't quote me on the specifics, but at some point that flipped. Mm-hmm. And it became more pink is girl, blue is boy.
So I have Two more things, because, you know, I want to try and stay to a reasonable time and get to everything. I have two more things on Sleepaway Camp. Have any of you seen either of the sequels?
No.
I know of them.
It's
the aunt mother that's the protagonist in those, right? Or am I wrong?
Doesn't Angela, she actually transitions in the second one?
Oh, is that it? Okay.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Yep, and still killing. Still
And then she murders some normies. And,
yeah. I mean, I've seen them. You don't need to.
All I'm saying is, based on our conversations, if the next Sleepaway Camp is Camp Bezos, we're down for it. We're here. We'll watch it. Okay, that's all I'm saying. Like, again, know your audience. Lean in. Sure, whatever. Just roll that.
And also, I don't know a lot about the specifics. So I don't want to sound like I'm shitting on, I mean, also, you know, it was the 80s, so it was more common, but, you know, like, a cis woman playing a trans character, you know, is, you know, shouldn't be happening now, and, like, it shouldn't have been happening ever, but, I do know that Phyllisa Rose, the woman who was Angela in the first one, she very proudly owns that role and just brings it. And I'm like, you know, that would be so great. Like, if there was also like anything done like in any way to I don't know. In any way, like, give back or, like, you know, to the trans community that movie has been harmful. Like, I don't want to, like, I don't...
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't... I it's just something I think about. Because I'm like, I've seen interviews with her where she's just like... there was something where she was in another movie... and I saw like an interview with her about it, and someone said like, "God, are you only in movies with mangled genitalia?" And she's just like, "Yep."
Oh. So I do think it's interesting how many trans people actually like this movie.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's like kind of a cult classic because even though it's transphobic, you also really sympathize with Angela.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, fuck those guys up. Like, everyone that she kills richly deserves it.
Oh, that head counselor's death is one of my favorite things in horror movies. Just like...
Oh, yeah. There are some great kills.
Yeah. And just
one was a problematic kill, but the others were crazy. You know,
I mean, they're, like, inventive and, like, original. It's just, like...
They were. I did not care for the one with the curling iron.
Oh, yeah.
Curling iron, I had to walk away.
Yeah. I was like, okay, that crossed the line.
I had to walk away. I was like, nope.
Yep.
I was like, this went from fun to, like, you just went there, huh? Yeah.
But any other comments on Sleepaway Camp before we move into positive representation? The one!
I'm probably just gonna watch the kill count of this Sleepaway. There's this channel on YouTube called Dead Meat, I believe it's called, or something like that. James A. Sinise is the host, and he does a kill count of very popular or classic horror films. And I just saw he has Sleepaway Camp on there as well, so I will watch that.
Huh. Yeah,
great.
That sounds like the right thing to do, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I agree. I feel that.
And you try to be aware when something comes across as like transphobic or homophobic or racist. And he brings that up very briefly in the video as he goes along the film.
All
right. Very cool. So, I'm gonna look him up. Yeah.
So I recommend it. I'll probably watch that after this.
Great.
It's a good plan.
Yeah, and like, I will say, like a lot of horror movies in 1983, I don't think there are any black people in Sleepaway Camp.
There's one.
Yeah, like the assistant.
It's been a while since I've seen it.
Is the one who, when the cook starts going on about his pedophilia, goes like, "Oh, you," and it's like, "You rascal!" And it's just like, no. Like, I don't think he says that specifically, but just like that, like kind of like, "Oh, ho, ho."
Yeah. So, but like, there was no black kid at the camp.
Yeah.
It was like an SS youth camp. I don't know.
Again, they exist, but they're not. Actually, it's just putting bodies on camera as opposed to giving them actually something good.
Really, I didn't see any black kids. I was like, this must be in Connecticut.
They're in the sequels.
Maybe is one of those where it's like it's there, they're there, but you have to believe that they're there.
I choose to believe that the black kids were too smart to go to this camp where everybody's getting murdered. You're like, I'm not going to this white, like, rich white people camp. Everybody, that's how you get murdered. I'm not going
there. We still got 15 years of when we're the first to die in a film. We're not going to go.
I saw Friday the 13th. And The Burning. I think those both came out before Sleepaway Camp.
Wait, which one?
The Burning. Okay. Does anyone know The Burning?
No, is that the one about Bernie Sanders? And how created by the conservative media about how he's going to destroy the world? Or like, no, it's a different one. Okay, sorry, my bad.
No, it was communist.
It's
okay. I would watch that.
That
sounds great.
So we're gonna move into positive representation. Anyone out there listening, this will be out as a podcast, so listening in the future or watching currently. If I know we've thrown a lot of negative representation at you, if you need a palate cleanser after this, if you need a hug of positive trans representation in horror, I really recommend that you watch this movie called Bit, with Nicole Maines in it, who you may know from Supergirl. I thoroughly enjoyed this movie.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it too. I don't know. I need to see it again. I've only seen it once. I just saw it. I need to see it again.
It's definitely not perfect.
No.
And that's okay. Like, but it's still, I like, Morgan and I were talking about a little bit of this, so I'll let Morgan sort of like talk a little bit more. But I just want to throw out, like, I love it, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, I recognize that there's some flaws.
I
agree with KJ. I would have to rewatch it because when I finished, I was like, I don't know how I feel about this.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of stuff I like, and I think that overall I love it, but there's also stuff that was.
I
see what they're trying to do, but the execution wasn't all there.
Oh, absolutely. I said this before we started recording. I think I said this to KJ. I think you were the only one here. I had said, like, I still can't tell if it was a good movie and really good trans representation, or if I was just so starved for it that I have no choice but to love this movie.
I felt like when I thought of this movie afterwards, it reminded me of a pizza commercial. Like, on screen, the pizza looks fucking glorious. And then you get it on your doorstep, you eat the pizza, and you agree that it was good, but you agree that you were a little let down.
That's actually...
My feeling is, in terms of, like, trans representation, it's excellent.
Oh,
if you're just looking at that, like, 5 stars.
Yeah, and that's, like, why I was like, I love, I'm like, oh my god, this is wonderful! Yeah. I don't know if it's a good movie, but I'll take it!
adaptation of seen in a horror movie.
Yeah.
In terms of the movie, like, looking at the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's okay. Liked it.
Yeah.
No. Didn't like some of it.
Yeah, like, and...
Are we able to kind of talk a little bit about spoilers, just because I'd love to get into some of the specifics, but I know that it just came out.
So yeah, so I mean, if we can try and err on the, you know, side of, there are some parts that I feel like the movie can't be talked about as far as trans representation without bringing them up. So if you're watching or listening and you haven't seen this movie, you might want to, you know, skip the rest of this conversation. But
come back.
Try to minimize the spoilers.
Yeah.
And just to throw this out to folks, I found it on Tubi, T-U-B-I, which is a service I had no idea existed, but is a service I did not have to pay for. So they are, it is a legit service, so they will be getting some sort of paycheck if you watch it through them. But yeah, Tubi is where I found it, T-U-B-I.
What I was really surprised, what I found about this is like, compared to all the other times I've seen trans folks in films, be it or even TV shows, be it in mystery, suspense, or horror, the difference here was that the protagonist being trans didn't seem to play. That's not what it's about.
Yeah, and I was like.
The protagonist just happens to be trans.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But the other really awesome thing is, like, A, her being trans adds to her character, adds to the world, adds to things. And also, you couldn't really, like, you'd have to jump through a lot of hoops if you were then to make that character cis. And it's just like, no, that, like, I think that's the good, like, that dance.
Yeah.
That
there were so many things about that movie that, like, and I mean, this is why it's so important and so helpful.
Yeah.
Any, like, movie directors, producers, it helps you, okay? This is why it helps you to cast trans people and, you know, have authentic representation of whatever group you're having a character who represents on screen. It helps you because there were so many things that, like, without going, you know, like, too real, were just so true to trans experience and trans feminine experience, where, like, there's, like, a scene at a party where it's just a random dude just like, I think what you're doing is awesome.
You're so brave.
I didn't get that until now.
I admire you so much.
And
I was like, oh my god.
It was like, bye. And it was just like, I admire you so much. Well, bye.
Yeah, she's like,
I didn't get that until now.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and it's, and I mean...
The other thing, and this could be a spoiler, so I'm going to throw that out. I don't think it is. I think it's more of an ease of a warning. I went in worried that this, once they established the rules of the movie, they established the rules of the vampires, that this was going to turn into
a
vampire turf movie. And I was just like, I don't
know. Oh, I was so scared. I was so scared.
For those of you who maybe, like, are going to turn it on, see where it's going and say, nope, I'm going to walk away, they acknowledge and move away from that pretty quickly and easily. They dispatch it as the movie goes on, so you don't need to worry about that if you're going in with that worry.
Yeah.
They set the vampire rule, like, that rule they say in, like, the first 5 minutes of the film, so I don't think that's really a spoiler if you want to share it.
Yeah, basically...
But,
basically, no men is what they're told. Like, they will kill all men turned vampire. So,
but they consider trans women to be women. So they
And it was
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, and that scene, I was so, when that happened, I'm just like, And it was like, that was handled the best it could have been handled. Yeah. It was just like, yeah, why would that matter? I'm like,
yep. I know. Acknowledge
it, and then they move on. Yeah, it's like, and there's also, I don't know, Ashley or KJ specifically, if you got this at the point, but I was so terrified at the when she's making out with the girl, when they're the like sex scenes, I'm just like, oh god yeah, when it yeah. Just like, I was, and there's no like, oh, you know, it's just sex.
Yeah.
There were two instances where I got a little nervous. That was one. The other was when they gave her that cure, and they're in the back, and it's just somehow they knew, and just and when they presented those rules, and I was wondering how that was going to be addressed.
Yeah,
and it was touched on.
Yeah,
and that was it.
Yeah.
And yeah, so both these situations, yeah. I was like, okay, I can breathe a little easier now.
Yeah, and
they never made a big deal out of her being trans.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, mm-hmm.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, I was just gonna say that, like, see, these conversations, I think that bringing these scenes up, rather than being spoilers, are just like kind of just letting the trans people watching know that, like, okay, there are going to be some scenes where you get nervous, and they're okay. Rather, you know, I mean, we haven't spoiled any of the plot of the movie, so.
Yep. They also do a really good job, just to throw this out, because I'm also, like, I have a lot of horror friends who just do not do gore. There are moments of gore, but, like, they show you right in the beginning. They do exactly what, in my opinion, a good horror movie should do, is they show you where the gore is going to go. This is about as big as it's going to get.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll push it further, but, like, with this one, they show you, this is about as gory as this is going to get. If you're okay with that, stay with me. If you're not, you know, maybe this isn't for you.
Yeah.
Quick question.
Mm-hmm.
Now, given a horror film, like, just like any art film out there, do you think, and this is aside from a transgender part about it, do you think that's helpful? Like, in that one, you do show where it's going to go, like how far it would go, and make sure, like, folks are okay with that. And it's like, turn off your TV now, if you're not cool with it. On the other hand, when it comes to some viewers, it's like, once you get to that point, and that's as high as it's going to, like, it's not going to go any further for some of those. So, like, I can see that. Do you think, to some folks, that takes away from them enjoying the film, especially folks, I guess, who love blood and gore?
I'm
okay with blood and gore. I can take it or leave it. It doesn't bother me. Or excite me too much, but
I think for me in general, what it is it's about sort of like letting us know where the stakes are going, like, okay, like, you have to hit us with something big so that we see what your idea is, and then if you in that moment keep increasing the stakes, then I'll know it's going to keep going further and further and further, and we're going to, like, get even worse as the thing goes on. I know, I'm thinking Terrifier is actually another one that does really well. They start you off in a place where you're like, okay, that's nasty, cool, and then they keep going and they keep upping, and so you know, like, oh, this is gonna be a movie where the gore is gonna be upping the stakes, whereas with this one, like, it's very much like, this is about as bad as it's gonna get. If you're okay with that, stick with me. So I think it depends, and in my opinion, it's about that, like, communicating to the audience in some way, like, this is what this type of movie is. You cool? All right, stay with me.
Yeah.
And the gore, I felt like the gore wasn't a big part of the horror in this movie. They rely on other things to create the horror, so it's not like I wouldn't call it a gory movie. I barely remember the gory scenes, honestly.
Yeah, me neither.
It's just the heart, and it's the heart, and, like, you know, some folks would consider the neck biting and the general vampire stuff. But if you're going into a vampire movie and you don't expect neck biting, I don't know.
You
know, they need to make an energy vampire horror movie.
I mean, what we do in the shadows, honestly, I don't know how any movie or any other thing can top what we do in the shadows.
Yes! Yes!
Kyle Robinson.
Yeah. So.
All right, Kate, you're about to say something.
No, I just said it feels like this wasn't just a horror movie.
Yeah.
It feels like it was mixed with, this is like a story. This is, horror is part of it, but this is sort of, I guess, a film of someone discovering themselves.
Yeah.
This was her discovering herself, and that's what it felt like.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
And for that, I appreciated it. It was definitely a different take, but I also felt like, because one of the things, well, other than being on a certain streaming platform, like, because it just didn't stick into one category that people love to throw things into categories, that's why it didn't get a lot more attention.
I also think it touches a little bit on the rape revenge genre.
Oh yeah.
And people going into it, it's, you don't see anything. It's not going to be graphic. It's touched upon sexual assault, but that's it. But there is a sexual assault. One of the characters is a survivor of abuse, and so there's like this whole revenge aspect, which, honestly, I like those movies.
Yeah,
where you get to see like the women getting revenge. They're cathartic to me, because so often like women don't get to have any kind of like satisfaction when like someone abuses them. Like, people just get away with it. So these kind of movies are cathartic, where you're like, yes, kill him.
Yeah.
So if you're into that, they also there's a little bit of that in there in the movie too, which is pretty satisfying.
Yeah. So is there anything else we want to cover on Bit? That doesn't go into spoiling of the plot.
Maybe the part that some of us weren't as big a fan of. Just
great.
Yeah. I don't know if you all have the same feeling, but when I was talking with Ashley yesterday, I felt like the movie, they were trying to say that, like, met, you know, you should hold men accountable. Just because they're men doesn't mean that they're going to be violent and stuff. They have to, like, you have to hold them the same standards as you do to women, which is a great message. Unfortunately, I felt like sometimes it kind of veered into not all men territory.
Oh.
And I was like, it's like a fine line to walk where you, like, hold men accountable for their shitty actions. Just because they're men doesn't mean they, like, can't control themselves. And being like, well, not all men are, like, evil. And it definitely, like, there were times where it was, like, getting into
that. Oh, yeah. I wasn't a fan.
Or they're like, well, women can be just as bad as men. And I'm like, yes, women can be abusers, too. And I also think that's something that we should acknowledge. But that's also used to derail a lot of conversations when we talk about, like, how men are problematic.
Yeah.
So I was... like, overall it's good, but those parts, I feel like it just wasn't handled great.
Yes, yeah, thank you for bringing up the negative aspect question, because I was just looking at my clock, and so I kind of lost track of that, so thank you for bringing that up. And getting us on that track, because I think that's important.
So, the thing about it was, bringing that up, it reminds me that this film was written and directed by a man. That only makes sense that there's going to... And that only plays into the message that was in the film, is that there's going to be an aspect of that. And...
yeah,
it does play into that a bit, which is why this film is like, it's like what you were saying, Sam, like, we kind of forced to love it. because this is the best we got right
now.
In the decades of how trans women are depicted and whatnot, and their stories within films, like, this is the best we got.
I think it lost a lot of focus, and that's what sort of like pulled me out of it. Is there's a lot of really good, a lot of good in there, but I feel like it would have been a great novella. Like, and I mean that, like, and I don't mean that as a complete knock. It's just there is so much, like, and then we've got other aspects outside of just the queer vampire folks.
Yeah.
And we've got aspects outside of, like, a lot of other things. And I think if they, like, really focused in one area and not went with their, I forget the term that they use, but, like, the thralls, the Renfields, I think if they, like, the lackeys of other vampires, like, I think that there was a lot of stuff thrown in Act 2 and Act 3 that just sort of, like, well, we were going in a good direction. We didn't really need that specifically. You get pulled away from that sort of, like, to me, it felt like a very, like, queer contemporary Lost Boys. Not that Lost Boys isn't queer. Lost Boys is incredibly queer. But, like,
queer women instead of queer.
And I think that, like, it lost a little bit of that edge because there was just so many other aspects in there, but really like I would take that over I would take that over a lot of other movies that exist right now.
And you know, I saw this movie like about 2 months ago. So you've all seen it more recently than me. So it was so, like, thank you for, like, because in those 2 months, it's just become, like I said, just this movie that I'm just like, oh, positive representation of trans people. I mean, oh yeah, that was a thing.
And I know, like, Ashley's on her podcast, she talks about, like, not all representation is good representation. And when I review, I like to promote diverse authors for my blog, and some of the diverse authors are not that good. And so that's, like, a question. You're like, well, we want representation, but we also want, like, the movie or the book or whatever to be good. And right now, this is, like, the only thing we have. So I feel bad. I don't want to say anything negative about it, because, like, that's all we have. And I want there to be more.
Yeah, and there were so many great things about it. You know, it's
the music was awesome.
Yeah, and it puts us in this position where it's just like, but it's hard to pick it apart like you would. A not trans-centered horror movie. You know, if this were, you know, It Chapter 2, I'd be, you know, like, happily just be like, yeah, that was great, but what the fuck was that?
For me, I feel like it's still important to pick it apart. Most definitely, because the thing about it is, like, this is good, this is what we have now, but it's like, when you don't pick it apart, I feel like it gets folks sometimes in a mindset that, oh, well, this is good. We don't have to do better.
Fair.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the one thing I'm afraid of. And I've seen that when it comes to so many other issues. And now when it comes to trans people in films, that's something that... It's important to appreciate what you have at the same time, criticize it and question it as you should, because it can always be better.
Yeah, and you always want it to be better.
Yeah. Yeah, and that actually does lead me into a question. There's a question I ask at the end of this that I'll ask at the end of every episode of Boo-ha-ha that I'll ask after this, but this seems like a great question to ask during this, and it came to me before recording. I've been waiting to get to this, but what would you like to see from the future of trans representation in horror? You know, it's like, what would you like to see in horror?
I want to see a black trans person as the hero.
Yes.
Black trans woman.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
Yes.
What I want to see in particular is, and part of my inspiration comes from Jordan Peele, is how the idea of how certain ideas, like mostly I'm going to point to Get Out. Us was a good example, but Get Out especially, when you take a huge issue such as racism and you take things that are said in given the issue, and then you twist it into the story to kind of one, show how scary this is, mm-hmm. and two, still offer a good narrative, a good storyline, entertainment, and whatnot. For Get Out, it was racism, especially when Chris, the protagonist, is facing the person that is going to be taking over his body. And he said, why black people? This person says, well, I mean, and this was the blind art collector. So he was like, well, you know, your color doesn't matter to me. He's like, well, I don't see color. So,
yes.
So I want to see something like that. And I want to see that happen with when it comes to transgender people and the shit that we deal with, and to show how bad mm-hmm. this actually is, that
yeah.
and how people treat us and how yeah. they talk to us.
Yeah.
I want
to see that shows that. Oh, sorry, go ahead. So I think we need more trans people to write and direct these movies too.
Yeah. Yes,
that was going to be my answer. Yeah, you. No, like thank you for taking the words out of my mouth.
That's gonna be my answer.
From the future of trans horror is I want more pieces by and with trans people at the helm. Right. I know AJ Mattioli, actually, we talked about him earlier.
Yep.
Mattioli Productions, they have yep. Killer Unicorn, and uh-huh. I forget if Guys at Parties Like It is out yet,
yeah.
but that's
yeah.
Yeah. Right in the genre.
Yeah. And
so the more we can see these pieces crafted by and helmed by trans folk, the more we're,
yeah.
we're gonna see a real, like, I feel like there are gonna be things that we can't even figure out right now because we're not left
mm-hmm.
we're not let in the room yet.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
we're in the room. We'll be able to put it out. We'll be able to blow people's mm-hmm. minds. I'm not going to give you my gold just yet. You know, you gotta let
yeah.
me in the room and pay me attention.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But yeah.
And I think that goes back to what KJ was saying about, like, Get Out. She's mentioning that. Even though I pass as white, I still get really uncomfortable around white people because I'm half black and most of my family is black. And I've, like, seen how we get treated when, like, people know I'm black. Or when I'm with my family. But I didn't really have, like, any way to describe that discomfort, like, when I'm in a rich white town, and I would just, like, I tense up, and I'm like, oh, God, I'm gonna die. And Get Out did such a good job of just, like, representing that feeling. And so now, like, my cousins and I will use that. We're like, if we're, like, in a rich white neighborhood, I'm like, oh, I'm getting Get Out vibes here, guys. And, like, that's not even something, like, I would have, like, before, I didn't really have the vocabulary to explain it to, like, white people. And that's why it was so awesome that Jordan Peele made this movie, because he's like, this is what we're scared of. This is obviously
yeah.
an exaggeration, but this is what black people feel all the time when they're around rich white people, even if the people are like, oh, we're not racist, we voted for Obama. It doesn't matter. I'm still uncomfortable around you.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's why it's so important to have, like, these writers who can write their own story,
mm-hmm.
because it's stuff that, like,
yeah.
you know, cis writers wouldn't even pick up on it if it was a trans story,
yeah.
or, like, white writers wouldn't even think of in writing a black story.
Yeah.
And I had just realized recently, this is being a little off topic, but it's still a trans story. From what I have heard, that The Matrix was a trans allegory.
Yep.
And that I already knew of the allegory of the cave, but then this was later confirmed, and it just started making so much sense to me. And it's like, this is something that, like, folks have known for a while.
Yep.
It's like one of those watching the Ellen sitcom, and then everyone else getting that, oh, she's gay, but then the other audiences being like, oh, this is funny, I don't think, and then she actually comes out, and they're like, I didn't know that it was there.
Yep.
Gamers is like, of course she's gay. What are you talking about?
Yeah. So you know what I'd like to see in trans, like the future of trans representation in horror? I'd like to see a movie that like tackles the fucking bullshit of like medical gatekeeping.
Mm-hmm.
Like, please. Ooh. Or you know, like you know, True Scum, gatekeeping, all that crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see a film, a horror film being made of that, made with that, and I think I'm getting the sense it is going to be really scary. So I can definitely see something like that happening.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that too.
Yeah. And I will admit this, it is barely even in the early stages, but I am writing a screenplay about a pack of trans women werewolves.
Ooh.
Okay.
I've read so many trans women werewolf books. It's, I just want to say that.
What?
George, not to like say you, I just love that like trans
George will
people.
Be different.
No, I'm like, wait, this, please, afterwards, send these to me.
Trans people are identifying with werewolves.
Oh, this has come up on so many, in so many conversations of mine. In fact, I bring it up on the werewolf episode of this podcast that just dropped yesterday.
And there's like so many people who don't even realize it's a thing. I'm like, no, trans werewolves, they're awesome. It's like gay vampires.
Yeah.
It is a thing. Or like how NBs all love cryptids.
Yeah. Mer people.
Yeah, that's kind of a thing. I do love cryptids.
I was talking to a bunch of NBs and I was like, wait. So we all love cryptids, guys? Like,
isn't
not binary.
Isn't mer people a thing for a lot?
Yeah, that's like a thing. It just makes me happy when like queer and trans people embrace like these monsters,
yep.
And kind of like make them their own.
Yeah. So, yeah. Final question I ask, and then I'll let all of you tell people where they can find you on the internet if you want them to do that, and then we'll be done. But final thing I ask on Boo-ha-ha is it can be a subgenre of horror, a horror movie, horror book, just something underrated or like a hidden gem that you think people should check out if they haven't seen it. And KJ, you can start if you want.
See, I'm trying to think. This is a little tough, but the first one that came to my mind, given a little background on me, I had the hardest time making friends growing
okay.
up, and even now it's like hard for me to communicate and be verbal under different situations, so that's been the story of my life since I was a child. So that said, the movie May.
Oh, yeah.
So that kind of one queer people in that as well. And then two, it's just the idea of like, you have a hard time making friends, well, you can make your own. So it's like the film has some like holes and problems, but at the same, like, it's not perfect. At the same time, the idea of it really stuck out to me. And I thought, especially the ending, which, of course, I won't spoil, but that movie, if you want to get a sense of the kind of stuff that I watch or that draws me, whether they're good or not, mm-hmm. that's the movie to see is May.
Ashley?
Yeah, I'm looking up a couple just because I'm like, ooh, wait.
Yeah.
I want to make sure I get them right. First off, I want to throw out S.A. Hunt's The Malice Domestica series. It's a series of books. Samara was recently on my podcast, both as an interviewee as well as an expert on, someone who watched Lost Boys. So her books are amazing and just, so good. And she's also an out trans author, so it's just like, yay, you know, support us. The other one, another series of books, they're by Leanna Renee Heber, is her most recent series. I just can't for the life of me put them in the thing. It's Summoning of Souls. Yeah, Summoning of Souls just came out. I did some work on it because she included a trans character in the series, and so I did a little bit of sensitivity reading for it, and I absolutely love it. I love her. She's amazing. And finally, we finally sat down and watched Midsommar, which is something everyone's been talking about, so it's not a hidden gem, but like, I knew what I was expecting, and I was not expecting that. So I also just really love... and I can't think of the filmmaker's name right now, but they also did Hereditary. And I love this, like, deeply human sadness that, like, he's able to encapsulate in all of his movies. And I feel like that is my thing, is just this, like, real human condition shit. And then also something weird and scary is happening.
Yeah. And Morgan.
I like Midsommar too. It's one of those movies that where at the end I'm like, good for her. what I want to recommend is actually a book. It's called Out of Salem by Hal Shreve, who's a non-binary author. And the book has a non-binary main character. And if you are a former Harry Potter fan and you want to read something that's similar but not written by a TERF,
yes,
then I highly recommend Out of Salem.
Yeah, I loved this.
It's a great book. I actually have a whole list of books by trans and non-binary authors on my blog if you want to, like, horror books, if you want to check that out, too.
Yeah. And that's a good segue into where can people find you and support you, if you want to reiterate that. Any links that you want, you can send me, and I can drop them in these comments as well.
So you can find me at diversityhorror.blogspot.com. You can also find me on Twitter at diversityhorror and on Instagram at diversityhorror.
As for me, you can find my website, which is where you're going to find, you'll be able to find most things, ashleylaurenrogers.com. It's my full name. You can also find me on Twitter at Lucretia Dierfor. You can find me on Instagram at ashleyrogers83. You can also look for my podcast, Is It Transphobic, wherever you find any podcasts, or at isittransphobic.com. And finally, I do a weird stage combat pro wrestling inspired show that we've had to turn into a digital show. We've had a Bagel Royale we just announced that we're doing a web series out of it at scowlfight.com. The show is called Scowl.
Great.
With me, at I am KJ Whitehead on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and also Venmo, because I am looking for a sugar mama. my hashtags are KJ Whitehead and hashtag Radical Comedy, as I am the queen of radical comedy. And my website is imkjwhitehead.net, where you can see if I'm doing any live shows coming up, which I am. So please look into that. I will update the website pretty soon, as well as Spotify. I have a live album that I recorded back in January called The Haggard Unicorn. It's my debut album. Please check it out. It means so much to me. And also feel free to shit talk me about the album so that I can take those notes when I'm making a new album that'll come out next year.
Yeah.
Looking that up right now.
Yep. Oh, it's great. I've listened. It is fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you all so much for talking to me, and, you know, talking, to this audience of right now one person, whatever. we've been talking for
sticking with a friend.
it's an hour. We've been talking for an hour and a half. It's okay if people have had to leave, but this has been wonderful. And I will let you all go on with the rest of your day. We will have the We Are Trans panels are monthly. The dates haven't been announced, but the next one of these in November will be This Is What Non-Binary Looks Like. Spoiler alert, it's nothing. It doesn't have to look like something specific. That's the point of that panel. And We Are Trans also has a festival next week, starting next Friday, over Zoom. A bunch of amazing shows. KJ and Ashley are both in that on different shows. I think Ashley is on next Saturday at 3 p.m. and KJ is on the 9 p.m. comedy show on that same day. And
good Saturday.
Yeah, that is. Do yourself a favor. I will drop the links to that as well in here. And Boo-ha-ha, the podcast, comes out every Friday. This will probably be out there in like 4 or 5 weeks because there are a few pre-recorded episodes to go out first. But I'll see you next time at the We Are Trans panel in November. I'll see you on the festival, and I'll see you next time on Boo-ha-ha. Or will we? Okay, that's
yay, that was fun.
Yeah.